الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And the choice of blessing of Allah Ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He is bestowing upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the ability to recognize these blessings and the importance of these blessings and to then use them in a manner that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now among the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, are ourselves, our life, our health, our time, every part of our body, whichever way it is functioning, and our faculties of how we understand things, and all these things put together are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given to us by Allah ta'ala for a reason. And the reason is this, that we use these things, all these blessings, in the path of Allah ta'ala to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the highest stages of Jannah, and to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Allah ta'ala has given us all these organs, all these faculties, and our limbs, and whatever we want to look about around us, apart from all the other blessings that are around us. Therefore, if these particular things are used properly, then, like I said, we will gain the closeness of Allah, and it will bring us very close to Jannah, and it will distance us from Jahannam. All these the various organs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Like for example, a few weeks ago we spoke about the control of the tongue. So we said the tongue is such a thing that a person may be very, very close to Jannah, but he might just utter someone something which is not correct, something very kufr, and that will distance him from Jannah and put him away into Jahannam, and vice versa also. If a person has got the tongue and he uses and he says something so beautiful and so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it will create a distance between him and Jahannam and enter him into Jannah. So all these organs that have been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are actually a blessing which we must use to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't use them properly, apart from the later consequences, it will bring a darkness into our heart. In other words, each sin that we commit, it imports into the heart darkness. It imports into the heart darkness. So whichever way the sin is being committed, and once the darkness comes, it continues to build up, and then it creates for a person a haziness in his heart, that he is unable to distinguish between wrong and right, and between halal and haram, and then he does things that are in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, from amongst the organs that are most important and which are most vulnerable for committing sins, very easily accessible to sin, is the eye. Allah has given us lots of things, right? Lots of organs. So when it comes to the mouth, we can keep it shut. We don't have to talk. When it comes to the ears, we can keep away from whatever is haram being said. When it comes to the hands, to the feet, whatever it is, these are all organs which we can commit sin, but we have to make a bit more effort. But when it comes to the eye is forever watching. The eye is always roving, as we will say. It's checking everything, anything, anytime, anywhere. So the eye is something that can immediately pick up a sin, a sinful thing which a person is not supposed to be doing. So that's why this is one of the most important organs which has been given, which we should be very careful about, and which should not in any way lead us to the sin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, therefore, we must be careful with regard to this very great blessing that Allah ta'ala has granted us. So, like I say, compared to the other organs, we have to be very careful with regard to this. And the wrong use of this great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter us into haram. That means we are committing haram now in a manner that is going to bring darkness into our heart. Now obviously the eye is such that there might be occasions where the gaze will fall on something and then we're not supposed to look at it. But because, like we said, the eye is open all the time, therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. And he says that for that first time that a person looks, then he will not be taken to task by Allah ta'ala. And we are in such a situation where many times the gaze falls, for example, on a na-mahram, on a strange woman. Now it's there. We may go to an office, or we may go to a shop, or we go to wherever it might be, and we are being served, for example, by a female. So there now, you saw her, you can't say you didn't see her. You know, somebody is sitting there by the cashier and so forth, but that is where it ends. Immediately after that, that gaze should not be followed up by a second gaze. Now, the gaze should not be a lustful gaze. So where it means there is a necessity to look at somebody, even haram, that we must be careful, it is not a lustful gaze. Immediately that gaze must be taken away, or a person must keep control of the particular gaze that is now being cast there. And there are various harms. Like, you know, if we look at our physical eye, we've got two opticians sitting here. We've got the physical eye, and if we do not use it properly, then the eye is going to become affected, it's going to become weak. So nowadays you find small kids wearing glasses. Small kids, grade 1, grade 2. So one of the reasons that they told to us is there's too much of screen. They're watching too much of the screen. And others are watching it at a higher age also. And some people are getting dry eyes, and some people are getting whatever it might be. So this is the harm, the physical harm that is being caused by some physical action that is being done, even if it's something that's necessary. For example, a person is working on a computer or wherever else it might be, he's always looking in the bright light, is affecting him. So it is going to cause harm. So if physical things can cause harm to the physical eye, then we must also remember that looking at haram things, those things which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, if you're going to look at them, they are also going to have a effect, and it can have a negative effect, such an effect that is going to be opening the door to a lot of other haram that is going to be coming in front. So therefore, this is something we should always keep in mind. And this harm is such that it will lead us to a lot of haram. That is why there's one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says that a person commits zina with his eyes. Zina al-ayn al-nazar. That means a person commits zina with the wrong, lustful gaze that he might he casts on somebody. Now we must remember, a lot of times people don't regard this as a major sickness. Our Sheikh, Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, used to describe the casting of lustful gazes as an epidemic of the time. Like, it is so common, it is so, you know, easily done. People don't even care about it. Like, I remember one person, he says, I think I'm okay, man. You know, I got no real problems. I stay from sin. Only got one problem. I like to check. So that's bad. Like, to check is a big guna. So he's saying, like, you know, so we have to be careful. We must not regard this particular action of ours as something that is light. It is something great. So the Hazrat was telling in one of his lectures, he said, people, they taunt me. He said, the ulama taunt me. They say that, you know what, this sheikh here, he only got one topic. He only talks about controlling the gaze. There are many other things happening. Why does he only focus on this? So he says that the sickness, the epidemic at this time, is people are not careful with regard to the casting of their glances. So how can I go speak of something else? You see, for example, there's an outbreak of cholera in an area. Now, I go there and I start giving the people flu tablets. He says, that's not needed at that time. That time you have to give the people those medications that are needed for that epidemic. So you see, that's why I speak about these things, because it is such a common action, such a common sin. People don't even realize what they are doing is wrong, and they get carried away with it. So therefore, it is such a great ibadat for a person to actually be in control of his gaze and bring himself to the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah ta'ala in the Quran, he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Allah ta'ala's way of sometimes, you know, being kind to us. He says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qul, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the believers, they must lower their gaze. Say to the believers. So Allah ta'ala could have told us directly, but out of love and for us to, you know, appreciate this command more, it must come via Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we say, my beloved Nabi told this to me because my Allah, to him to tell it to me. So if that thought comes in the mind, then it creates another kind of a sentiment in the heart of a person that no, I have to be very careful. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men that they must control their gaze. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And that they must safeguard their private parts. So, two things I mentioned. Gaze, and immediately after that, the protection of the private parts. That means, be careful you don't get involved in zina. So the connection here is that if a person is not going to be careful with his eyes, it is being opening a door towards a greater sin. So in the Sharia, there is one rule that sometimes something that is haram, before you reach that door of the haram, the door to that also closes up. Like for example, many of us, we know that you get music, and music can stir up the emotions. Yeah? Shakespeare in one of his plays, King Lear, opening lines, "If music be the food of love, play on." Yeah? I remember it, grade 12. So that is the effect of music, right? And then once he was in one of the discourse, the children went wild, you know, who were the teenagers that all were there. So they actually went wild. People can understand. And afterwards, when they calmed down, they said, the music made us do it. So they went violent and they went totally like they took some medication or something. It was not that. So it has an effect on a person. Therefore, the door to that will be, don't go to that, don't listen to that, because that is going to have. So it is called sadebab, the closing of a door before you actually get to the haram. So the thing with controlling the eyes also, it is not only something that will be good for us, but will save us from a greater sin. Dhalika azka lahum. Allah says that is most pure for you. So we all want to lead lives of purity and chastity. So it starts with the eyes. So whatever is going to lead to the final goal of haram, the final destination of haram, the introduction of it is also made haram. Not looking, and then obviously, which will lead to a haram that's also going to have to close down. So therefore, this is the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us. And then we know that, like we mentioned, that the gazing of the eyes already is a zina. And there's a hadith which says the different lumps, the hands of the zina is this, the feet of the zina is this, and the zina of the mouth, whatever it is different forms of zina. But now we're talking the zina of the eyes. So when a person does that, then it brings a kind of a spiritual darkness into his eyes. You know, in one hadith or one incident is mentioned, that somebody came in the company, in the majlis of Sayyidina Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he saw that person, he said, what is wrong with the people? The effects of zina are dripping from their eyes. So when that person was on his way, he must have saw something he was not supposed to see, and then that affected. So this is how the mashayikh, the pious people, the sahaba, who have got such spirituality, can actually pick up that there are traces of zina on this person's eyes. Now, how powerful Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu must have been to have noticed that. So in any case, this incident is mentioned in the books of hadith. So therefore, this is the first thing. And then we mentioned this hadith we had the other day after Maghrib also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "La tattabi'u nazrat al-nazra." That don't follow one gaze with another gaze. Because the first gaze is for you by mistake, or you looked out of necessity. After that, the second one, don't follow it up. So you saw somebody going past with you who you're not supposed to see. You saw, so finish. Now don't want the person going past you, still turn around to have another proper look. That's not on. That is haram. And one person was very clever. He just kept on looking. He said, "That's my first case. I'm not going to move. I guess the first one is jais." So that's also not on. Immediately a person must turn his gaze away from there. And that is haram if he's going to keep his eyes looking on all those things. One hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna nazra sahmun min siham ash-shayatin masmumun." That the gaze is a poison arrow. This is such a scary hadith. The gaze is a poison arrow of shaitan. The gaze is a poison arrow from the arrows of shaitan. So now if somebody says, "I'm going to throw this poisonous arrow at you," you're going to be scared, because one is an arrow and then you've got poison to make it even more harmful. So therefore, we have to be very careful that when we have that, keep this hadith in mind at all times. I'm talking to myself now, that we must not allow our gaze to go anywhere and rove, because then shaitan has just used an arrow and it's now going to cause us harm. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever من تركها مخافتي, whoever leaves this particular sin of gazing out of fear for me, then Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah ta'ala said, this is hadith Qudsi, Allah is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrating from Allah ta'ala, then whoever leaves it out of fear for me, he will get the taste and the sweetness of Iman in his heart. So that is the benefit of actually controlling the gaze. So we have to at all times remember that the more we keep our gaze low, the more we are going to gain the closeness of Allah. And that is the easiest way of getting the sweetness of Iman. Our Shaykh Rahimahullah used to say, stick to your basic ibadat. If you can't do more than that, you know, the extra nawafil and the tahajjud and that, but be careful of your gaze. You can get the closeness of Allah much more quicker by controlling your gaze than by reading so many tahajjud rakats. Subhanallah. He say, if you're going to become a wali, Hazrat took a qasam in one of them. He say, I'm taking qasam and telling you the easiest way for anybody to become a wali, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this, that he controls his gaze and he keeps it away from there. So if this is how the effect of controlling the gaze is, that it will bring a person close to Allah, the opposite also you must keep in mind, that if you do not control it, then what can the harm of this particular action be? So these are the harms, and these are things you must keep in mind. Then another hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْزُورِ إِلَيْهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala curses the one who's casting the gaze and the one upon whom the gaze is being cast. Now that person will say, but what is my fault here? So there are those people, females for example, or even anybody else, they go out and they adorn themselves in such a manner that they want to attract attention. That is why there are rules and regulations placed in the Sharia with regard to how, people should dress, how females especially should dress. Many of them in the Western, they say, look here, it's not my fault. I want to dress. I've got freedom of how I want to dress. You must watch. So if they are dressing and they are being the cause of attracting other people to them, the one who is watching, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرُ وَالْمَنْزُورِ إِلَيْهِ, then such a person is also going to be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat has gone so far to say, and he quotes one of the other mashayikh, I think Mawlana Rumi, if I'm not mistaken. He says that, never mind a person, a female, we're talking about females, that's where our big problem is. So he says, never mind, even if a female who is dressed in very smart clothing, don't look at her. Because that in itself is going to cause harm to you. So one fellow, he was walking and he saw, like a well-built, let's say, woman who was dressed, covered, and she went past, but he got attracted by her size and her clothing maybe, right? So he decided to follow her. So he followed her. So she came by a well where she needed to take water. And there she dropped her parda off in that. When he saw her, he got a shock of his life. She was old, wrinkled, with her old features all messed up. So you see, so he got a shock. So you see, just be careful about that. One other fellow, he went to one place where there was a majlis taking place of the ladies. So now he came there and he's now starting to look at all the shoes because the ladies are sitting barefoot inside in the gathering. And he's starting to look at the shoes and making nazar on the shoes. Where was that taking his mind to? So therefore, it's not only the person, it is also sometimes the clothes, the shoes, whatever they might wear. Because all these things are the eye, and the eye is then going to import from there and export it into the heart. And that's where the darkness comes about. So our Shaykh's very, very pet topic. He was all the time discussing it. Therefore, we have to keep this in mind. Now, if a person has got the sickness, must first make dua to Allah. Allah, save me from the sickness of casting lustful gazes. You know, sometimes a person is unable to go the full mile, as we will say, of committing zina and that. Mawlana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayh, he says there's one old uncle told him, that, you know what, I just sit by the beach. I don't do anything, but I see, that's all I can do for now. But I'm not doing anything else wrong. Why? You're doing biggest wrong. By using your eyes. Although you're not doing any other haram, you are not able to do other haram, your whole machine is messed up. But you are still committing haram by doing, just watching. So that on itself is in haram. Once one person told our Shaykh, Hazrat told us this incident. He says, these Malaysian hajis come, all the ladies, for example, they all come with white burqas and they're all making tawaf. They move in this gang here. You see them, you also get scared because now you can't make tawaf properly. They're going to push you out of the way. So one person was sitting there, Hazrat was sitting there. That man says, Hazrat, these Malaysian women, they look like such beautiful pigeons, you know, they come here, see how they're all moving in such formation. As I say, Sufyan al-Kaaba, and you're making bad nasri. You are being misled by thinking that you are looking at this formation or these people dressed in uniform. It's haram what you're doing. Take your gaze away from there. So just that gaze also is not necessary. And especially when people are making tawaf, you have to be so, so careful, because that is a total intermingling of the genders that is taking place there. So a person will be so focused at that time that his gaze does not go in any wrong way, because you get all kinds of people that come there. Some are covered, some are not covered properly, and so forth. So if a person takes his gaze away out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will get the sweetness of iman. He'll perceive it. Yajidu halawat al-iman. Yajidu means it's there. He'll now find it. It'll be there for him. And that is such a beautiful thing he will taste. After this, he will never want to turn around and look again. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person must therefore look for that, and he will taste it. He'll find it there. Not just feel it there. He'll get the taste of truly the sweetness of iman. So that is what we are supposed to be looking for. And once a person got the sweetness of iman, that means he's got a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever gets this special connection with Allah ta'ala never takes it away from him again. He himself will now be overcome with so much of love of Allah ta'ala that any haram is not going to make sense to him. And the greatest thing is, if he's got the sweetness of iman, it will never be taken away from him. The glad tidings for him is he'll get husna khatima, because he will definitely die on iman now, because he's got the sweetness of iman. He's not going to die with death, have a problem, because he's already connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, these are some of the things that we are supposed to keep in mind with regard to the casting of the gaze. And there are a lot of other things that can be said. Just remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أنا عند المنكسرات قلوبهم. I live in the hearts that have been broken. So how did the heart break? Not the heartbreak we talk about, you know. So the heartbreak is launched him, wherever she must be. This heartbreak is when a person was tempted to do some haram case, and for the sake of Allah, he turned away. Now he's an insan, he's got desires, and nafs is telling him, check, and he's not looking. So that brings a kind of a heartbreak to him. But he did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. So Allah says, I come in those kind of hearts. So that is where you get the sweetness and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this particular action of taking the gaze away from haram is one of the highest form of zikrs. Why? Because the heart remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one, and the eye turned away from there. So two things, two zikrs taking place at one and the same time. So it's the one zikr we're just making, we're saying Allah, Allah, which is very great also. But here there are two zikrs. The heart reminds that, hey, boy, you're not supposed to look, and immediately the eyes looks away. So there are two forms of zikr that are taking place. And then because a person is fighting his nafs, and he has basically killed his nafs, he has killed himself in the process, he will be raised to the shaheed. Who's a shaheed? The one who got killed in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So this man here, he killed his nafs, he killed his desire, he killed himself in the process. Spiritually, he didn't want to do haram. Because of that, he'll get the position of a shaheed. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him. So there are a few other things, inshallah, maybe in a future talk, we'll continue with this. May Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq to abstain from that what is haram, especially when it comes to our eyes. أفضل الذكر فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله الله 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 Allah, 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 Allah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa al-Aqibatil Mittaqeen. Salatu wa salam wa al-Ashrafil Anbiya wa al-Mursaleen. Sayyidina wa Nabiyina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أستغفر الله أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه صلى الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا الله we ask to forgive all our sins whichever way we committed it wherever we committed it whenever we committed it under whichever condition it might be يا الله we ask to forgive each and every one of our sins and purify us like the day our mother gave birth to us. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, we ask you to send down every kind of goodness on all the brothers that are present in this gathering and our mothers and sisters at home. Those who got difficulty, we ask you to remove their difficulties. Those who got financial problems, we ask you to remove their financial problems. Those that are in debt, we ask you to pay off their debt. Those that are making an effort for halal, rozi, ya Allah, we ask you to grant them barakah in their rozi. And those who do not have doors of livelihood, your means of livelihood, we ask you to open for them doors of livelihood. Barakah and khair, ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, those who are ill, we ask you to grant them shifa. Those who have requested du'as from us, in whichever way it might be, ya Allah, you know what their du'as are, ya Allah. You fulfill all their du'as. Send down your special mercy on the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they are. Ya Allah, those mu'mineen that are undergoing tests and tribulations, you grant them steadfastness and you send down your unseen help upon them. And in those places where the Muslimin are being oppressed, ya Allah, where they at the hands of the Mushrikeen of India, or whether it's by the Yahudi of Israel, or whether it's by the other Kuffar of different parts of the world. Ya Allah, the Mu'mineen are your beloved creation and your beloved servants. Ya Allah, we hand ourselves over to you, and we ask you to protect us and to protect them. And Ya Allah, this is the hidayat for the enemy. And Ya Allah, you deal with them in the manner most befitting according to your wisdom. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.